This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I am rejoicing at seeing your faces. Anybody else stir crazy a little bit after this week that we've had? Talked to a few of you who are getting out for the first time today, and had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us for the first time today, and we're so glad that you're here, so glad to be together, so glad to be connected over live stream with many of you who are perhaps unable to get out of your house today, and we're glad for the technology that allows us to worship in the Spirit of Christ together. So welcome to this hour of worship. I would like to invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row at the center. If you could pass those down and sign in and pass them back, that would be wonderful. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser that will take you straight to the registration point. As you could probably guess, we've also already communicated for those of you who get congregational emails that all of the activities for today are postponed. So that means the interest group for adults who were considering or thinking about small group ministries, which was supposed to happen earlier this morning, will be rescheduled. Our gathering at 5 p.m. for members of our LGBTQ community is also going to be rescheduled. Confirmation and youth activities are all canceled for tonight and pick back up next week. We hope the rain comes, the temperatures rise, and we'll get back to normal. And if so, then next Sunday at 4:30, we're excited to welcome Amanda Moll, who will be giving an organ concert here in the sanctuary. And we look forward to welcoming her and hope you'll put that on your calendars. There are all sorts of other announcements about upcoming opportunities for ministry and learning and being together. So I invite you to take a moment and study those details. We are grateful to be together this morning in this time of worship. And this morning we hear the story of Jesus inviting some disciples to follow him, Philip and Nathaniel specifically. We hear their stories. So let us open our hearts, our minds, our ears to receive this call to follow Jesus as we worship together.
Thank you. found in your bulletin. God, you call each of us to serve, and we answer, "Here I am." Jesus, you call each of us to follow you, and we answer, "Here I am." Holy Spirit, you call each of us to worship you this day, and we answer, "Here I am." Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of mercy, you call us to follow you and to participate in the work you are doing in the world. You invite us into relationship and call us to come and see. Too often, though, we ignore that call. We go our own way and choose a path that leads away from you. Too often, we follow the voices of a culture that calls us to selfishness and greed. We choose comfort over action, what is easy over what is right. Forgive us, God. Have mercy on us. Help us to respond to your call with boldness and with faith. Help us to follow you today and every day. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Church is the baptism of children. This morning, Hillary and Justin Leedy bring their son and daughter before God and this community of faith for baptism. Also this morning, Jennifer and Paul Amundson bring their son before God and the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Hillary and Justin, Jennifer and Paul, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your children forward for baptism today. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
And will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faiths openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, please say, "I will." My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ. If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these children with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay, you want to come forward? And what name have you given your son?
Benjamin Paul.
Benjamin Paul. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter and friend all the days of your life. And what name have you given your daughter?
Alexa Jane.
Alexa Jane. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter and friend all the days of your life. Amen. I'm going to invite your parents to place hands on you, and we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life together. And Pastor Stacy's going to join us. Ben and Alexa, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful lives. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and now we get to celebrate and witness the baptism of another child. And they're going to bring their son forward. Okay, try this. And what name have you given your son?
Leaf Michael.
Leaf Michael. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your friend and comforter all the days of your life. Yeah, here we go. Now, Leaf, we're going to ask your parents and Pastor Stacy and Big Sister to lay hands on you as we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Leaf Michael, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, now Leaf, we want these wonderful folks to know that you're wearing a gown that your great-grandmother made in 1924, 100 years ago, and you're number 18 or 19? Number 18 to be baptized in this beautiful gown. So we're going to go with Ben and Alexa. And we're going to take a little trip down the aisle so that you all can get a closer look at your church family, and your church family can get a closer look at you. Just look at all of these loving faces smiling at you, and there are people online who are watching, and they're so happy to welcome you into this church family. And in a minute, they're going to make a promise, a vow, to do everything they can to help you all grow up in the faith and learn about God and how much God loves you and how you can love and serve God in the world. So let's listen together as they make their promises to us.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and rise and face Benjamin Paul, Alexa Jane, and Leif Michael. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brothers and sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Benjamin Paul, Alexa Jane, and Leif Michael to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faiths, confirm their hopes, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Benjamin Paul, Alexa Jane, and Leif Michael. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Did you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
invite the grown-ups to be seated and any children who are here to come down and join me and Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. We'll have a special moment together. I'm guessing all of us have been home all week in the house, enjoying this snow outside. Come on up. We're so glad to see you. Come on around. I want to congratulate Ben and Alexa on their baptism, and little Leaf too. It won't be long before he's big enough to sit up here with us. I'm so glad to see you all. Do y'all like snow? Yeah, I like snow. I think it's really, really beautiful. It's a little cold, but it's beautiful, and it's fun to sled and to, we make snow cream at my house. So we get snow and we put it in a bowl and we add milk and sugar and vanilla, and it's like ice cream and it's yummy and it's free. So we had a lot of fun with the snow. On Sunday night, when I went to bed, the snow had really started to fall. And then when I woke up Monday morning and opened the window, it was so beautiful. And I said to my family, hey, you have to come and see this. It's so beautiful. Come and see. There was a man named Philip in the Bible story that Mr. Patrick just read for us. He met Jesus one day, and he was so amazed at Jesus and how kind Jesus was and how loving and what a wonderful person he was. He knew there was something really, really special about Jesus. And so he went and told his friend named Nathaniel, Nathaniel, I just met this man named Jesus. You gotta come and see. Sometimes things are so wonderful and beautiful, it's hard to describe them, and we just want people to come and see. And Nathaniel met Jesus, and he started following Jesus too. Jesus is so wonderful, and he loves us all so much. It's hard to put it into words. The best we can do is say, come and see. I want you to meet Jesus too. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the beauty of nature, for the wonder of snow that we've gotten to experience this week. But more than that, we thank you for the beauty and wonder of Jesus and how much he loves us. And how through him you show us how much you love the world. Help us feel that love and invite other people to come and see and come and meet, come and experience Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. And thank y'all for listening so much this morning. Those of you who have children probably experienced some of the excitement of snow this week. When was the last time that you, grown-ups, were so excited about something, were so amazed by the experience of something, that you just wanted other people to come and experience it too? It's not something that we adults are that good at, usually. We're a little more contained than that. It's hard for us to get so excited about things, but I did remember an experience I had not too long ago. Some of you know I have a group of friends. David and I have some friends that we get together with every year for New Year's. This was our 30th year. to get together. And we usually go to Asheville or somewhere in the mountains. But this year, one of our friends really wanted to go to Dollywood. I've never been to Dollywood, even though I'm a loyal Dolly fan. So we said, yes, let's go. And someone had told us, when you're in Dollywood, you have to try the cinnamon bread. Does anybody know the cinnamon bread? Yay, I'm getting some cheers back there. They bake it like fresh right at the gate, and it's warm. And our friend Bernie was like, I'm going to go get some cinnamon bread. And I was already full of fried chicken and cornbread and all the things. And I was like, I can't do the cinnamon bread. But he goes and he gets it. We're all standing around with our hats and gloves because it was cold. And he takes the first bite and he's like, oh my gosh, you have to try this. And so, of course, I had to try it, and I was won over. And I have this picture of all of us gathered around sharing this cinnamon bread. It's funny, I almost said communion bread. Because there was something about that moment that was filled with grace. It was sharing this wonderful experience together. And these were friends that I had gone to divinity school with, so we were all people of faith. And we kind of together acknowledged this feels a little bit like communion. And I was so glad that Bernie had that impulse to say, come and see. And I had that feeling Monday morning when I woke up that I shared with the children, come and see, look at the snow out there. Come and see. That's a phrase that appears several times in the first chapter of John's Gospel. Sometimes it's those exact three words. In other places in the chapter, it's the same idea with different words. It starts with John the Baptist. After Jesus has been baptized, John is standing around with two of his own disciples, or some of his own disciples, and he sees Jesus walk by, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Go and see. It's as if he's saying, go and see. And so two of those disciples go, and they start following Jesus. And it's almost comical the way John describes it. It's like following him, and Jesus turns around and says, what is it that you're looking for? And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. He doesn't tell them where he's staying. He doesn't tell them the plan of his ministry. He doesn't tell them what's ahead for him and for those who follow him. He just says, come and see. And they do. And they spend hours with him. And then one of them, Andrew, is so bowled over by who Jesus is that he goes and finds his brother Simon. And he says, you got to come and see. You have to come meet this person. I think we have found the Messiah. And Simon goes and he meets Jesus and he becomes a follower and is renamed Peter. The next day, and this is the story that Patrick just read for us, Jesus is walking along in Galilee and he finds Philip. And he says to Philip, follow me. And after spending time with Jesus, Philip goes and finds his friend Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, you gotta come and see. You've got to come and experience this person. I think we have found the one about whom Moses and the law told us, the Messiah. So this little episode is an opportunity for us to think about what it means to come and see Jesus, what it means to be called to experience Jesus as these first believers did. In this season of Epiphany, Epiphany is all about Jesus being revealed in the world. So we hear a lot of the stories from early on in Jesus' ministry and how people discovered who he was. As a church, we have considered the theme, we're considering the theme in this season of call and what it means to be called by Jesus and to follow Jesus. So this story with Nathanael gives us a chance to dive a little deeper into one man's experience of call and to see how perhaps we can see ourselves in Nathanael and in his encounter with Jesus. We don't know much about Nathanael. In fact, the name Nathanael only appears in John's Gospel, in the first chapter right here, and in the last chapter, he's named as Nathanael of Cana, as one of the disciples to whom Jesus appears in his resurrection. That's all we know. Now, if you compare the list of the 12 apostles with all the Gospels, they don't all agree. But if you look at those lists, it's probably likely, perhaps, that Nathanael is also known as Bartholomew. Philip and Bartholomew appear a lot together. So we can assume this is Nathanael /Bartholomew. But beyond his being from Cana, all we know about him is in this little story. So Philip comes to him and says, you got to come and see. We have found the one about whom Moses talked about in the law, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And did you hear what Nathanael said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So Nathaniel's revealing himself maybe as a bit of a skeptic, maybe as someone who has some prejudices, some preconceived ideas about people or certain groups of people or people from Nazareth. I mean, it might be like me saying, can anything good come out of Chapel Hill? Sorry, it's a bad day to bring up basketball. Anyway, maybe Cana and Nazareth were rival towns and they just had this joke about each other. Who knows? But we see that Nathaniel has some biases that he's dealing with. But Philip just says, come and see. And so Nathaniel encounters Jesus. And as he's making his way toward Jesus, Jesus speaks first. He initiates the conversation, and he says, here comes an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He already knows Nathaniel. And Nathaniel is bowled over. How do you know that about me? How do you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you long before Philip went to get you. I saw you under the fig tree. So Nathaniel in that moment feels seen. And he feels known. Even in his prejudices and all that he brings with him, he feels known and welcomed by Jesus. And there's something curious here. This, I saw you under the fig tree. And the way that Philip described Jesus as the one that Moses and the law talked about, it makes me wonder. It makes me curious. This is just my wondering and imagination. My commentaries were locked up in the church all week, so I didn't have access to them. So someone's probably said this before, but I'm wondering if John is trying to tell us that Nathaniel really was a student of the law. The fig tree is often a metaphor for the Torah. And I wonder if Nathaniel, under the fig tree, was one who had really dived deep into the law. And Philip knew that if he told Nathaniel that Jesus was the one that the law and Moses had told about, that this would help to win Nathaniel over. But here now, Nathaniel is meeting Jesus. He's meeting a person, God in the flesh, not just in the pages of the law. And when Jesus sees him and names him and knows him, and I think loves him, Nathaniel responds with his whole heart, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. He's the first in the Gospels to proclaim it like that. And then he and Philip and Andrew and Peter start following Jesus, and we're off and running in the Gospel of John. So I'm wondering, can you see yourself in this story of Nathaniel? I know I see myself. I know that I'm someone who carries around some preconceived ideas about people or groups of people, or, and I know that God sees those too. And I know enough in my walk with Jesus to know that part of the work he does in me is to break those prejudices open. Not by reading about things, but about experiencing people and being in relationship. Nathaniel had his whole idea about Nazareans and what they were like blown apart by experiencing Jesus. And I think we too, if we step out in faith and become followers of Jesus, we'll find those preconceived notions about people, those boxes that we put people in, including ourselves, busted wide open. I see in Nathaniel this, if, as I imagine, he was a student devoted to the law, attachment to the law, to rules, to certainty. I see that in myself. It's so much easier to have a list of things we should do and not do, of beliefs we should sign on to. But we follow a person. We follow God made known to us in a person. We don't follow a set of beliefs or a set of doctrines. All Jesus says is, follow me. He doesn't promise the road of certainty. He doesn't promise answers. He doesn't promise an easy, comfortable life. He says, come and see and follow me. And Nathaniel was willing to give up all his preconceived notions, to throw out the rule book he thought he knew and understood, to give up on certainty and all the answers, and step out in faith. You know, over the past few weeks, with these wonderful videos that our own Mac Perkle has produced about our church, we've been giving a little push to encourage our members to invite people to church, to have an invite a friend to church Sunday, invite someone to come and see. But this story about Nathaniel really pushes that question for me. What is it that we want people to come and see? When I talk about my church, when I talk about my faith, what is it that I want people to come and see? Do I want people to come and see our beautiful sanctuary and stained glass windows? Because, wow, it's beautiful, stunning, sacred space. Do I want people to come and hear the liturgy and hear the amazing choir that's so amazing? We got both of them together today. It's wonderful. Do we want people to come and meet the amazing people and to experience all the good programming we have? Yes, yes, and yes. But at the heart of it, what do we really want people to come and see? Philip wanted Nathaniel to come and see God in the flesh. I can't put it into words. I can't define him. I can't put him in a box. I can't write him all down on a piece of paper. You just have to come and experience him. Come and enter into a relationship with God through Jesus. That, my friends, is what we want to invite people to come and experience. And that's hard because it takes things out of our control. We're not inviting people to come to church so they'll come and agree with us or act like us or vote like us or agree with us to our set of doctrines. We want to invite people into this beloved community to experience the grace and love of God, to be seen and known and received and accepted and invited to follow. And it's an adventure for all of us. We don't know where Jesus is leading us, but we can trust that he goes before us. And so, my friends, can we hear the call again this morning? It's being issued to each and every one of us by name, by a God made known to us in a person. Can you hear it? He says, come and see. Follow me.
Response, let us rise together in body and spirit and affirm our faith. The affirmation of faith is found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death. In life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks right in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plate as they are passed.
We ask that you take note of the prayer requests listed in the bulletin and keep those names and those situations in your heart and in prayer throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As we pray this day, it is great and good to celebrate the gifts we receive from the Lord, including the birth of Griffin Michael Malloy on January 14th to Kelsey and Mike Malloy. He is welcomed also by his siblings Charlotte and Clay and grandparents Leah and Ken Malloy. Let us also remember and mourn with our beloved church family, offering comfort as we ask the Lord for peace in the lives of the Malone family, following the death of beloved West End member Skip Malone on January 13th. A memorial service is scheduled for Saturday, January 26th, I think that's the 27th, with a visitation beginning at 1 p.m. in Reed Hall, followed by a service at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all seasons, whose glory outshines the sun that warms us and melts the snow, we give you thanks for the ability to gather and worship you this morning in person or online. We give thanks for the joy that the snow has brought some families, and we pray for those for whom the snow was death-dealing or dangerous. We thank you for those who worked tirelessly, those at our winter shelter, those who plowed the streets, those who worked at power plants and the water company, and all of those who made our lives easier in this time of frigid temperatures. Lord, we've already confessed that too often we ignore your call to come and see. You give us opportunities to join you in your work, to see the good that you've done here and around the world, and we choose selfishness and comfort over your will and your work. Instead of giving everyone in every place the benefit of the doubt, we questioned who you chose and where they came from. So we come this morning to see. We come to see your goodness. We come to be surprised by your grace. We come to be challenged. We come and we invite others to join us. We come in joy, celebrating new life, new jobs, new babies, new marriages. We come in sadness, grieving the loss of our friends, our colleagues, our family members, our parishioners with whom we shared a pew or with whom we studied scripture. We come asking for your healing, for the sick, for the lonely, for broken relationships, for broken systems, for our democracy, for our state, for our world. We see our world at war and call for a ceasefire and peace. We see our neighbors outside and we call for housing. We see your people hungry and we know that we are to give them something to eat. Thirsty and we know that we are to give them something to drink. Naked and we know that we are to clothe them. We see you at work. We see your work. We see you. In the name of the one who came down wrapped in flesh to see each of us and love us just as we are, we pray this prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen, while here in the sanctuary we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us. Thank you.
final verse was our response to the call. So we follow and we go and the adventure continues. I'm grateful to have you as companions on the journey. Let us go forth to love one another, to love the stranger, and above all, to follow Jesus. Amen.